Hello, Dad and Mom, and hello to you too, Darwin. Well, it's about time I got off another tape to you. I very much enjoyed your last tape, Dad, and I've been meaning to get one back sooner than this, but due to a few traveling around on my part, why, I've been kind of slow getting things done here. I'll try and bring you up to date here as best I can. Now, first of all, I've jotted a few notes down from your last tape, and so I'll try and cover them first. One point you were mentioning about how that tape didn't sound too good. I noticed there seemed to be something wrong there. I don't know if your power was down or what, but your voice sounded kind of weak and scratchy like there. It didn't come in nearly as clear as your tapes have in the past, so I think maybe your batteries were down. You didn't mention, does your set plug in? Can you use it on the regular AC, or is it only a battery DC type outfit? I was just kind of curious about it. Anyway, I could understand you though, and so I guess that's the important thing. Oh, let's see, you mentioned something about the Army red tape, Dad. Yes, that's very true. They have their red tape just like everybody else, and we do have to wade through it sometimes. It seems like even over here, we have to fight the paper war along with the real war. I guess that's the way it goes. Seems like everything you do, you have to justify and prove on paper. I'm glad to hear that grandmother's feeling felt too good. I guess she probably has her good and bad days like the rest of us, but it sounds like she is doing better in general anyway. From your letter, Mom, the way you were talking there, it sounds like Emma is coming along okay. I guess she's just kind of pressing on with a farm there, and I guess that's about all you can do. But gee, like Joe and I were saying, it just seems like she's had more than her share of hard times, I guess. I wonder if is she just going to stay there on the farm by herself now, or is she going to maybe move into town or something? I was just kind of wondering what her plans were. Dad, you were talking about the rain here. I have mentioned rain a lot of times, and I don't know if I made it very clear, but here on the coast, it's very, very dry. We've had only maybe two or three showers in the last month. However, in the mountains, which are only about 10 to 15 clicks away to the west, I did tell you what a click was, didn't I? That's a kilometer. That's, I guess you know, it's about a little over a half a mile. Anyway, as I pointed out, we have a lot of very heavy thunder showers in the mountains. Not much lightning and no hail, but lots and lots of rain comes out of these thunder showers. However, the showers usually stay over the mountains, and very seldom do they drift out over the flat delta area here where the rice crops are grown, right on the coast itself here at Duck Fall. We don't have hardly any rain here during this particular season here in the summer season. However, starting in September when the northeast monsoon begins, then we have a lot of rain here on the coast. And it's dry on the other side of the mountains, so it's almost the exact reverse of what it is now. Anyway, so we kind of fly in the rain a lot, and sometimes we get a real wash job on our airplanes, but here in our local area here, we get very little rain. Actually, that's just as well with us, because it's really not all that bad here. It keeps the bug population down by not raining and keeps the mosquitoes from getting so thick, and it also keeps the humidity down, so we're not really complaining. I think you could probably compare the climate here at this time of year very similar to Colorado, in the showers in the mountains and the dry on the plains to the east. The only difference being, of course, that it isn't nearly as dry here as it is in Colorado. Even here on the coast, we do get some showers, and of course the humidity is pretty high all the time. Normally it runs between 90 and about 105 temperature-wise, and the humidity at night is almost always above 80%, usually up around 90 to 95, and during the daytime it gets down maybe to 50 or 60%, but very seldom lower than that. I see that you're following the news and keeping track of our good old 101st Airborne around here. Yes, we have had a couple of skirmishes here. We haven't had any real big actions in the last probably 2 or 3 weeks at least, but we have had a couple of big actions in the last month, one of which I was involved in, where we put in about, I think it was 7 or 8 airstrikes in one afternoon. It took the next 2 or 3 days to go through this area after we had hit it, and they found, I believe it was, they ended up with somewhere between 30 and 40 body count out of that action. So it looks like we got it right in on them. I did read about that company that was wiped out that you read about there. That belonged to the 173rd Airborne that's down in Tucor. That was pretty grim, all right. But that sort of thing happens occasionally when a company gets caught out by itself and they can't get air power or something in time, or they lose communications and aren't able to get in and protect them before they can get resupplied and get more help in. Anyway, that sort of thing happens every once in a while. We've had a few exciting things happen around here recently. One of them, we had one of our big Twin 40s. It's a sort of a tank. It has 2 40-millimeter guns on it, and it was running down the beach, and it hit what they think was a very, very large mine, or about something like a maybe 750-pound bomb. And this thing was so powerful that it actually physically moved this whole tank about 15 feet. And it blew the turret completely off the tank, blew it maybe 100 feet away. And there were a couple guys riding on the outside, and it blew them about 200 or 300 feet away. So that gives you an idea of how powerful it was. It blew both tracks off too, by the way. And I think there were 4 killed in that particular action, and was really quite a bomb. We were quite surprised also, of course, because we really haven't had any problems with mines on the beach until this particular incident. We have had a lot of trouble with mines on the roads, though. It's gotten to be, that has proved to be a nuisance to us more than anything. We haven't had anybody killed since about the first week, but they continue to sneak in and mine our road over to the airport at night, and every morning they have to go in with a minesweeper and sweep the road. And just last week they found 8 mines in one night. So Charlie continues to plague us on the roads. I just spent about 3 days in Da Nang here just recently, and it was right after the big rocket attack, which I'm sure you read about, and that was quite a mess, as you can well imagine. There were pieces of airplanes laying all over the place, and they had blown up an ammo dump, and I think we lost, altogether, there were about 15 or 16 F-4Cs that were completely blown up, and there were several more that were damaged badly. So it kind of slowed down our fighter operation at Da Nang. One of my old students, as I told you, is up there, and he was telling me about it, how they had these large explosions from the ammo dump. And he, by the way, got a MiG here. He and his pilot, he flies in the back seat, got a MiG here just recently, and he was real happy about that. It's a real good deal. I usually go over and stay with them while I'm up there. They have air-conditioned BOQs, one of the few in Vietnam, so it's real nice to stay with them when I go up there, and they usually have an extra bunk, so I've got a good deal going for me up there. Looks like my tape's out, so I'll see you on the other side. It seems like these tapes really disappear in a hurry at 3 3/4, don't they? I guess I just talk too much, huh? I'll see you in a minute.